I love a beautiful lawn. You love a beautiful lawn. Everybody loves a beautiful lawn, but they don't love how long it takes and how difficult it can be. And that is where True Green comes into play because it's the easiest and most affordable way to get that beautiful lawn. Let's be real. You've got plenty of other things to do in your free time than focus on your lawn care. So let True Green take care of all of that hard work while you get to do everything else that you want to do, like go play golf. Here's what you need to do. Visit truegreen.com, okay? It allows you to do you. Let them do the lawn care. And if you visit truegreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people, that is all guaranteed. You can trust True Green to give you the best lawn because they are the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. They offer a satisfaction guarantee and they have a verified best price promise, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. It's truegreen.com. Get started now.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It offers flexible spending capacity that adapts to your business. You can also earn up to $395 in annual statement credits on eligible purchases at select business merchants. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
Freaking first cut. Golly.
Welcome to the First Cut Podcast. I'm Rick Gaiman, and this is your early Masters preview. All the storylines and information that you need to know before the first major championship of the year. Joining me to break it all down, Patrick McDonald is here. Patrick, can you believe it's already Masters season?
I can't believe that, and I can't believe someone signed off on this. But yeah, I'm looking forward to getting into Augusta National, some of the storylines, and getting into the good stuff.
Yeah, we have certainly pulled a coup here. Indeed, Mark Immelman is here. Mark, this is it. Let's go.
Yeah, boy, I just got back from Ponte Vedra. We were calling last week's event, which was fun, but I'm ready. I got green on. I got my Masters coffee mug. Yeah, I'm in the mood here in Georgia, to be honest.
I love it. And KP, Kyle Porter is here. You've been... What is this, month three of Masters prep for you? I feel like at the turn of the calendar year, that's when your attention turns to Augusta National.
Yeah, I started writing Masters preview content in December, and Patrick was like, "What are you doing, man?" And I'm like, "It's Masters right around the corner. Here we go. Let's go." I'm just glad that we don't have to subject people that are watching on TV to Greg's time zone takes. He's not here today. If you want to tune in to see or hear Greg's time zone takes, you can listen to the First Cut later on. But that's probably a good thing that we left those at home today.
Yeah, they get a little spicy at times and not always the greatest of takes, but we'll do our best here for this one. Mark, before we jump into our storylines, why don't you just kind of lay the foundation here for us? Obviously, this is an event near and dear to your heart, not only personally, but professionally. And we only get 1 week of this a year. We're constantly looking forward to it. And now we can finally say it's time.
Look, I think I'm the one person in the world that gets to thinking about this event before Kyle does, because it is just so special. And here in Georgia, we've had somewhat of a late spring, to be honest with you. In fact, we've got weather rumbling through tonight again. We've had a lot of rain. All the reports I've heard from the golf course, a few members that have been there and back over the last few days, they say it's immaculate, as you would expect. But just look, it's the Masters. This is something, I was listening to radio shows on the way back from Ponte Vedra this morning. And we go back to the same place, which is heavenly in itself. And you know every hole. And I can say to you, Bubba Watson's wedge shot. And you know the shot. And you can describe to me what he was wearing. And then I can say to you, Louis Oosthuizen's 2-iron. I can talk to you about, you know, Jack Nicklaus's 5-iron to number 16 in 87. The Larry Myers pitch shot going back to the same sort of era. So everyone knows this golf course. And so we all feel like it's a part of who we are. And I'm kind of fortunate that I'm related to someone who had a pretty big feat over there. And And to be honest with you, every time I get to go there, and now I get to talk about it on the Amen Corner channel, I feel like I've sort of jumped the fence, and I don't feel like I'm worthy of that honor, because there's just such a regal nature to the place. The golf course is so cool. I mean, the design, the Alistair McKenzie's design, is one of a kind. And of course, it steals the show, the golf course does. But then we've got all the best golfers coming together to celebrate a rite of passage in the spring. So I can't wait.
Yeah, we've talked about that quite a bit, that Augusta National, the golf course, tends to steal the show more often than not. But Patrick, let's kick off the 88th Masters with where we finished the 87th, and that's with Jon Rahm being the defending champion. Obviously now a member of LIV Golf. We've not seen him compete on the PGA Tour during this recent run of Scottie Scheffler going nuts. And we've seen him play LIV events. We've seen him play on the DP World Tour. What are expectations for Rahm coming back and trying to defend his title?
I think the expectations are for him to be in the mix come Sunday. I mean, this is one of the two or three best players in the world on LIV or on the PGA Tour, and he's played great golf on LIV with four straight top 10 finishes. He's going to have a go there this week at Trump National Doral as well, and he's not in the same form as last year. I don't think anyone would be, winning three times and averaging almost three strokes gain per round. But he's not far off. If last year was a great prep, this year is probably a very, very good prep. And not only is Jon Rahm one of the best players in the world and playing great golf, but he's the best player in this field at Augusta National among those who have played at least 10 rounds. I mean, this is a guy who in seven trips, his worst finish is a T27. He's got the win, obviously, a couple other contention runs. So it would be very surprising if Rahm, despite a different prep this year, isn't in the mix late.
Yeah, and KP, we talk about the pressure that Rory McIlroy is going to feel on the first tee trying to win the green jacket for the career Grand Slam, and we will talk about that ad nauseum a little bit later. But what's the pressure for Jon Rahm feel like? Is there a part of him that has to justify the move to LIV Golf and say, I can still contend at these major championships? You're not going to be able to take that away from me, no matter what my schedule looks like.
Yeah, I think maybe. I think the bigger pressure for Rahm, actually, he did a conference call with some kind of a group of media, I guess 2 weeks ago now, and he was talking through the champions dinner, and he was talking through just sort of a little bit of what his week is going to look like as the defending champion, and he was very nervous. He was very sort of out of his world. And I think this gets at something that Mark was alluding to earlier, which is Augusta National and the Masters is so different than any other event. Even if you're the defending US Open champion, which Jon Rahm has been, or the defending PGA championship winner, or the defending Open champion, all three of those are a big deal, but they're not like the Masters because of the emphasis that Augusta National has put on its own history. For better or worse, that puts a lot of pressure on the champion. And I think that is pretty separate from all the LIV stuff. There might be some pressure. I think the LIV PGA Tour storyline is actually more interesting this year because LIV just has a lot better players than it did a year ago between Rahm and Tyrrell Hatton and, you know, all the guys that they had prior. Now Brooks is a reigning major champion. So I think there is some LIV PGA Tour storylines to be had, but I think with Rahm specifically, it's more about the emotion of being the defending champion. He said he can't even really think about the speech that he has to give at the champions dinner on Tuesday night because it makes him too nervous. So I think that'll actually take more out of him emotionally than maybe anything else he encounters that week.
Mark, this is such a great graphic here. We're looking at the defending Masters champions and their performance in the year that they defended. And there was only one top 10 there. It was a T10 from Scottie Scheffler. There is something inherently more difficult than just having your face, you know, picture on a poster as a defending champion at some of these PGA Tour events to having to host the Masters or the champions dinner, having to kind of be a part of history now and play great golf.
Absolutely. The one thing, and Kyle, I think, knocked it out of the park with his answer over there. In my experiences personally, when we went back there in 2009, after my brother Trevor had won in 2008, I was teaching Trevor at the time, and he's run in the tournaments he had played prior to the event. he'd played pretty well. So he got there Sunday to Augusta, that is, and Monday morning preparation. Everyone's kind of greeting each other, hellos, all the rest of it. You know, it's a light morning over there. Then players go and see the golf course. Then Tuesday, it gets into a real preparation. But I'll never forget on that Tuesday morning, my brother kind of seemed maybe not antsy, but he was just not present in the practice and the preparation because he's hosting this dinner on Tuesday night. And obviously the day went well. He had a decent practice session, but you could see all the time he was thinking about the champions dinner and he was thinking about, you know, what he was going to say. And then you wonder, perhaps, I'm sure he did and Rahm does, well, are the champions going to enjoy what I have to offer? Because this is, it's a big deal, this thing. And, you know, you only get to host this once, maybe twice, three times if you're a legend. So then you have that day. So preparation on Tuesday is somewhat scuttled given your commitments in the evening. And then Wednesday, you know, normally it's a light day because you have the par three contest in the afternoon. So it's a weird sort of a preparation coming into the event Thursday morning when you're coming back as the defending champion. But the one thing about Augusta National is it loves its champions because there's a conundrum, there's a nuance to the golf course, and you figure out your way around there. And once you've figured the puzzle, if you will, coming back, it's not like you're having to spend that much time around the greens on the course because you sort of know where hole locations are likely to be. You can reminisce. I mean, I was there with Larry Mize, working with him prior to Masters, and he would talk about hole locations on 11 and all the sort of stuff that he's experienced through the years. So yes, it'll be emotional for John Rahm. Look, we know he's an emotional guy, and this stuff will tickle his sensibilities. And I would venture to say Tuesday, he'll be kind of disconnected for a little while. Then Wednesday, you'll see things settle. But then on the horizon Thursday morning is now you're teeing it up and you're waiting for that announcement. Or please, John Rahm now driving. So it's a really sort of spiritual, emotional experience. And I can see why, just because of all of that, having been close to it, why it's so hard to defend.
Well, it's tapas on the menu, amongst other things, for John Rahm. We're going to turn our attention to the hottest player in the world, the number one player in the world. That's next on The First Cut on CBS Sports Network.
It's a really fine line creating workout clothes that are great in the gym and workout clothes that are also great to look at outside the gym. And Vuori has threaded that needle. They are designed to work out in, but they don't look like it. They don't feel like it. And it's incredibly comfortable stuff, whether you are running, training, swimming, doing yoga, running errands, lounging around the house. It really doesn't matter. These are versatile clothes. You'll find me often in the men's Sunday performance jogger because I like the jogger situation that goes on down at the bottom, but they're very comfortable. They've got a little bit of a shorter inseam, so they're not as bulky as other pants or other joggers that I have seen out there, and I've really enjoyed how they work both in and out of the gym. So now, here's what you can do for our listeners. First-time purchasers are getting 20% off. All you have to do is go to Vuori.com/first. That's Vuori.com/first. Again, not only will you receive 20% off your first order, but enjoy free shipping on any U.S. orders over $75. And here's my favorite part, free returns. Yeah, go check it out. Vuori.com/first and discover the versatility of Vuori clothing.
Welcome back to the First Cut podcast, and we are turning our attention to the number one player in the world. That's Scottie Scheffler. Patrick, the gap between him and everybody else, at least in the OWGR rankings, is massive. You don't need to look back too far to see this run that he's been on with two wins and a runner-up finish in his last three, and he's heating up at the right time as he goes back to Augusta National.
Yeah, the corrupt OWGR, that is, Rick. But I mean, with or without that, he is by far, in a way, the best player in the world. The question really is, who's number two? And whoever you ask, you probably get a different answer between Rahm, Rory, Wyndham Clark, Joaquin Niemann in some corners of the internet even. But you have a guy who is playing better than his 2022 self that won the Masters, playing better than his 2023 self, and has somewhat figured out that putting stroke. And that's really what hindered him in his defense effort. We saw that list previously about defending champions. From tee to green, Scottie Scheffler was Scottie Scheffler last year at the Masters. He just could not buy a putt at all. And the prep, as we see on the screen, a win, and 5 feet away from potentially another win. So he's got four top 20s and four trips, including that win. He's right behind John Rahm in terms of total strokes gained at Augusta National. So I think a win at the Masters would add maybe a little bit of validation to this run that he's on. We see the ball striking numbers, the tee to green metrics. They're all great. The back-to-back players titles, sure. But at the end of the day, we talk about majors. He's still at one. I know he's only seven removed from that Masters, but I think it could go a long way towards validating this run for Scottie Scheffler.
This is not unnecessarily unheard of, KP. Now, what he's been doing over the last 18 months is, but the heat checks that he gets on from basically January 1st to the Masters seems like it's been happening every year. So I went back and looked at this. The five starts prior to the Masters in each of the last 3 years, so 15 events in total, he's won seven of them. So this is the time of year where Scotty really starts to get going, and there are no holes in his game if he's going to roll the rock the way he has been the last couple of weeks.
And I think what you see with that, those tournaments that you just mentioned have in common, which is the Players Championship, Arnold Palmer, match play in Austin, maybe throw in a Riviera, depending on, I don't know what all tournaments were in there, but those are the tournaments that are kind of in that time period. Those are hard golf courses. Those are very difficult golf courses. And I think it gets at what Scotty does best, which is stay disciplined. I posted the numbers today on Twitter. His strokes gain tee to green numbers are double what the six best strokes gain tee to green guy, who's Tony Finau. Scotty has doubled him so far in 2024. Scotty's gained 3.2 strokes per round. And Tony Finau's at 1.6. And Tony Finau's the sixth best strokes gained tee to green guy in the world in 2024. And Scotty's been twice as good. So obviously he's a elite tee to green player. But I don't know that you can tell from the numbers how good he is mentally and how disciplined he is with the plan that he has when he goes to the golf course, whether it's at TPC Sawgrass, Augusta National, knowing where to miss there, knowing that sometimes playing away from a pin on 11 is a great play. Sometimes not going at the flag on 12 is a great play. And so many of these guys they know that. Like if you ask all 90 of them or however many are in the field, they can tell you that. But then when they get to the tee, they can't help themselves because they're so confident and rightfully so in their skills, but it's so hard to stay disciplined. And I think that to me is one of the most impressive things about Scottie Scheffler and one of the reasons that he's been so successful at difficult golf courses and at the highest level.
That's really what I think the convergence is, Mark, right? You've got the unbelievable skill, the unbelievable discipline, now going to a golf course where experience, discipline, and skill obviously all matter. I mean, he's got Ted Scott on the bag. Ted Scott knows a little bit about Augusta National as well. I mean, this is a team that seems like they are firing on all cylinders and ready to rock when they get there.
Yeah, no doubt. Look, I've made the mistake in the past of comparing people to Tiger, and that didn't work out very well. But the one thing that I will say is the addition of Ted Scott, you have a situation with Scotty and his bagman, the wingman who's there with you the whole way through it, is you've got tons of experience and a whole lot of presence. And all the times I've watched and called Tiger Woods, he stays right where his feet are. And sometimes around Augusta National, you're going to hit a five-footer that rolls by the hole 6 feet or whatever the case might be, or hit a good iron shot that releases down a slope to 20, 30, 40 feet. And then you just got to take it. You know, it's part of what it is. And so the presence of Scotty, he doesn't belabor that stuff. But to the managerial aspect of it, just like a Woods, like hitting the correct shot at the correct time, at the Players' Championship a few weeks ago, we had him in feature groups coverage. And I remember counting up how many times Scotty Scheffler hit the ball on the safe side of the hole location. And of 18 approach shots, he hit it there 17 times. So it speaks to a guy who's very comfortable with himself. He knows that over 72 holes, he's going to be there towards the end if he just plays himself. He also is a beautiful iron player. I mean, people talk about how he drives it, and everyone's talking about the uptick in the putter, which is a big deal. Scotty's iron game, to me, is biblical, man. The way he strikes it, the way he flats it, the way he controls distance, which is paramount around these grounds at Augusta National. I think that's what sets him apart. So with a mind, with the iron game, and just the fact that he's cool with who Scotty Scheffler is, and he doesn't get caught up in the buzz of the whole thing. Look, it's hard to turn your eyes away from him as we head into next week.
Well, here's the dilemma, Patrick, because Scotty Scheffler has certainly entered the range of this being a gift and a curse. You can win all you want, but if you don't win major championships and you're the number one player in the world, it doesn't really matter. So this year, which has been phenomenal, still has a lot to be decided.
Yeah, and we see in the past, guys have this, I don't know, what, 3-year window to really get going and take off major championships. You look at someone like Jordan Spieth, even a Rory McIlroy, who haven't won majors in a long time. Scottie Scheffler is firmly in that window to tick off as many major championships as he possibly can. And I think the good news about Augusta and the Masters in general is the best player in the world has won the Masters 3 out of the last 4 years. Dustin Johnson, Jon Rahm, and Scottie Scheffler. And Scottie Scheffler is the best player in the world far and away this year. And like I said previously, this run needs a little bit of validation, and the Masters would do that. And then you add in the other conversation topic point of, you know, maybe the PGA Tour isn't as strong as it used to be with Brooks and Bryson and DJ not there. Well, guess what? Scottie Scheffler can shut up those people. I know he doesn't listen to them. I know he doesn't listen to talking heads like us, but he can shut them up by, you know what, winning the Masters. So yeah, I think it adds a lot to this run that Scottie Scheffler's on if he's able to slip on another green jacket.
The run, KP, I kind of break it up into a couple of different segments, right? The run is like 2 years long. I mean, it's been unbelievable. But the recent run, the 2 wins in his last 3, the run that's kind of created a more fiery Scottie Scheffler at times, and now he gets to take all of that and go to a place that's really good for him. It does feel like we are in V2 of Scottie run.
Yeah, I think so, and I think. Well, I take it back to probably the singles match at Whistling Straits where he just bodied Rahm, just smoked him. And I remember joking, like, hey, the best player in the world and Jon Rahm are playing a match, you know, out in front of everybody today. And now it turned out to be kind of true. I don't think anybody realized how good Scotty was at the time, but I think he's gained the confidence that comes with being the number one guy in the world for this long. So I think that's a little bit the difference is just a level of confidence. And I think he continues, you know, he's talked about, he tries to add one thing to his game every offseason. It's kind of like Kobe. Kobe added a fadeaway, added a, you know, a Euro step, a crossover, whatever. And for Scotty, he tries to add one thing to his game or just work on one part of his game every offseason. And I think he loves practicing and getting better. And that sounds very obvious for a professional golfer, but as Mark knows, not everybody out there loves that, like truly loves it and loves getting better and loves being the best. And I think Scotty does. So Patrick's right. Like, we usually see 2-3-4 year windows for this stuff. I think Scotty's is, I think it's a more of a Rahm or Rory like window where it's, you know, Rahm's window has been what, 7 years already of having real chances at winning major championships. I think that's more of what Scheffler is looking at. And I reject the notion that you have to win majors to validate anything. He's won 2 players championships in a row. I mean, that we have to step outside of majors are the only thing that matters, because winning a players at TPC Sawgrass and the way in the manner in which he's done it, that's a big deal. And I think we have to remember that to treat it as such when we're kind of evaluating these guys' career.
Well, the large part of the resistance to Scotty Scheffler will come from Jon Rahm, amongst some of his other LIV golf peers. We will discuss those on the First Cut podcast coming up on the CBS Sports Network.
Did you know that more than 75% of Americans will experience foot pain in their lifetime, but only 10% will seek out a solution for that pain. Those numbers do not add up to me, and I know it can be confusing, the biomechanics of the foot, the bones, the muscles, everything in between, but solving foot pain is simple, and that's where Superfeet comes into play. These Superfeet insoles go into your shoes, give your feet comfort and support where they need it the most, and redistribute the forces that reduce both stress and strain through your entire body, not just your feet. Insoles have been phenomenal for me personally, and they are clinically proven to decrease fatigue, reduce injury, and improve comfort. I can attest to that myself, especially when walking a lot of golf holes that I play. So if you feel good, you play good, you look good, everything works out from there, and it starts from the bottom up. Visit superfeet.com and enter promo code FIRST at checkout for 15% off your first order plus free shipping.
Welcome back to the First Cut podcast. And we are at that point, Mark, where now just four times a year, we get all the boys together, the PGA Tour guys, the LIV guys. It makes these events even more special. And the LIV crew is bringing a roster, a hearty one this time around. We've spoken a lot about Jon Rahm, but don't forget about Brooks Koepka, who won a major championship last year. Bryson DeChambeau is going to try to unlock the secrets of Augusta National alongside Phil Mickelson, Patrick Reed, Cam Smith, on and on and on. This LIV versus PGA Tour battle, so to speak, is seemingly heating up again here in Augusta.
As you would expect, right? And I'm sure the Twitter is going to light up here pretty soon as well when all of the LIV butts start coming out of the woodwork again. Look, to me, it's the Masters. To me, because it is what it is, this event, I hope the LIV conversation kind of goes away and people just play golf for the fact that we're playing at the season's first major at the Masters tournament, because it just is so special. But sadly, we can't avert that sort of stuff. So it is what it is, in my opinion. As far as, you know, figuring out who's going to play well, the man in your picture, look, he just finds a way somehow. Cam Smith, you know, I'm not that sure about. The guy, if I do have my eye on someone from the LIV League, is Joaquin Niemann. Just the way he's been playing, and you could sense that kind of desire in him. And I've watched him play this golf course before, the Augusta National, and he's got all of the elements that are required to play well around here. The only thing is, you know, when you get to Saturday evening and you're close to the lead, you can imagine the questions that are going to be tossed at one, and the questions that one has to field. So it's, I just hope the conversation softens. I hope the golf gets the chance to be the get the front seat. And I really just hope that, you know, we have a fantastic event. And if you get a few LIV guys and a few PGA Tour guys mixing it up and battling it out, look, all the better for the game, right? So, so look, roll on Masters Thursday next week, and we'll just see what transpires.
Yeah, it is interesting, Patrick, because I think I know that at least in the last couple of years or last couple of major championships, guys from both the PGA Tour and LIV Golf have kind of said, hey, if I'm not going to win a major, I certainly want one of us to win it, kind of starting to put that line in the sands. But does that still exist? I mean, we are now in a world where there's a framework agreement between the PGA Tour and the PIF. Maybe that gets to the finish line. Maybe it doesn't. We've seen some of the sentiment soften amongst peers in recent months. And usually, and especially the Masters, has been kind of immune to some of the junk that gets thrown around. So is there even still a rivalry amongst the actual players, or is that just something that we're perpetuating?
I think it's an us problem. Probably. I mean, the players who liked each other before the split still like each other for the most part. And the players who didn't like each other before the split probably don't like each other a little bit more than usual. Unfortunately, I don't think we're going to have a situation where Patrick Reed's throwing a tee at Rory McIlroy on the driving range or anything like that. Because like Mark said, it is Augusta National. These guys tend to put the extracurriculars in the background. And even someone like Cam Smith last year, when he was wearing his Ripper GC proud fan here, all his gear, he said, hey, if a green jacket comes up to me and told me, take it off, I brought a completely different set of clothes in case that happens. So everyone knows there's one thing that matters this week, and it's the Masters. The rest of it is noise. Let's just play golf. You know, give the golf fans a really good week with all the big boys intact. So Yeah, I think it's more of an us problem, but I love it. I love all the drama.
What do we have to do, KP, to get that sentiment? The sentiment that obviously the golf is bigger. Obviously this event is bigger. Cam Smith doubling up on baggage fees so that he can bring non-Ripper GC logo clothes just in case. How do we get that sentiment like across the world of golf and not just a couple of times a year?
I don't know. Put us on TV more often so that we can so that we can talk about it. I think, look, I think, you know, if you watch, I think if you only, and here, I think this is the problem you're getting at, Rick, is if you only watch the majors and maybe you watch the Full Swing show on Netflix and you kind of pay attention throughout the year, but you're not really like in it every day like we are, like, oh, this PGA Tour Live thing, this is, you know, there was some rhetoric on Full Swing where you're like, I don't think that's how it went. Like that's revisionist history, right? And I think what's really sort of funny and really interesting is the biggest dogs on Live, they don't care at all about any of this, right? Brooks, Rom, they don't care about Live. Like, they just went where the money is, and that's where they're playing. DJ, Phil, maybe, but, you know, Phil's 50, whatever, 53 years old. So I think if the big dogs on that tour, like, we're more adamant about, remember when Greg Norman said they were going to like carry the winner off the green, like he was, you know, like he was Newt Rockne and it was like 1950s Notre Dame or something like that. That was absurd. Brooks Koepka's not doing that, right? And so I just think those guys set the tone for the world of golf. And if they're not talking about it, then it's really not that big of a deal.
Yeah, it is. It is interesting. The Live guys are going to play in Miami this week. That's going to be their lead in to the Masters. And Mark, we did see, you know, a couple surprises last year. Patrick Reed, without much form, played well. Phil Mickelson, out of nowhere, finishes T2. This is a golf course. We've talked about it a little bit already. Experience matters, and you can conjure up a little bit of magic and get yourself around here, even without coming in the greatest set of form.
Yeah, well, look, Phil Mickelson is the case study for that observation, right? Because in years past at previous Masters, he's come in here with no form. And then all of a sudden, something about him, he gets in the car and drives down Magnolia Lane. And his soul is awakened, and the guy just starts to do Phil stuff. And the next thing, he's contending Sunday. But that's what you see. We've talked about it, to your point. When the champions, the former winners, get to the grounds and they go and spend some time in the champions locker room and they mix it up with their friends in the green jackets and stuff like that, it just wakens a little something up in oneself. And there's also that little element of horses for courses. I know it sounds trite, but it's true, because the Augusta National Golf Club, it rewards a ball that doesn't miss down the left hand side. It rewards really quality iron play in terms of distance control and trajectory movement. It rewards a deft touch around the greens, and then certainly rewards the gumption, I guess the moxie, to be able to stand over a 5 or 6 foot putt when it counts and hit that thing at the right speed and make it. And so the guys that have won there before, they know what that feels like, because you heard Rahm talking about how he's nervous, Kyle's observation. You know, when you're over there and every shot you're playing is on the knife edge, you're riddled with nerves and emotion and stuff. So when they've been there, they cannot necessarily handle the nerves better, but they've dealt with the nerves. So that means they have the leg up on the folks that haven't been there. Because again, I was alongside Trevor for the Masters victory in 08. And Saturday night, man, he was an antsy boy. And Sunday morning, he was a nervous puppy. And thankfully had the moxie to pull it off. But that's where they have the leg up. So you can expect the Reeds, the Mickelsons, and that sort of crowd, Dustin Johnson even, to probably be a factor despite what they're doing leading into the event.
Well, I too am an antsy boy, because I want to talk about Rory McIlroy and Tiger Woods and much more, which we will do next on The First Cut on CBS Sports Network.
The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. And that's because the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe has some great features like the available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads, and much, much more. So think about those places that you want to go, the things that you'd like to do this weekend, and where the Santa Fe can take you. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
Welcome back to the First Cut Podcast, and welcome back to Rory McIlroy, who will be making his 16th attempt at winning a green jacket. Some much closer than others, Patrick. We know the story. It's been the story for a while now. You win the Masters, you get yourself the career Grand Slam, you elevate yourself to places that only so many modern men have been, and you win a major championship for the first time in, what, 9 years. So there's certainly a lot on the line when Rory tees it up Thursday morning.
Yeah, just a little bit. And I like how you brought up Thursday morning, because when you look at Rory McIlroy at Augusta National, the big bugaboo this last decade has been Thursday. As simple as that. You look at his scores, he's averaged 72.2 these last 10 years. You take that to 5 years, he's averaging almost 74 on Thursday. He's broken 70 once during that span. That was in 2018. And you know what he did in 2018? He was in the final group Sunday with Patrick Reed. That was probably his best chance to win the Masters. I know he finished runner-up there to Scottie Scheffler in 2022, but let's be real, he probably had a 1% chance coming down the stretch to win that championship. So for Rory, it's all about getting off to a hot start. It's been a little bit of a weird start to the season for him. I don't think it's as bad as some people are projecting. You look at the numbers, he's driving the cover off the golf ball. And so what he does this week in Texas could be a nice lead-in for the Masters. And it's all about Thursday for me and Rory McIlroy and getting off to a good start, keeping himself in the championship. We heard him talk about last year when he missed the cut, how he looked at the leaderboard and he was like, oh my God, I'm already 10 strokes behind Brooks Koepka. He can't be doing that. So it's all about Thursday for Rory McIlroy, in my opinion, for the Masters.
Patrick, do you have a scoring averages for the other three rounds in those years, or did you just look at round one?
I just looked at round one, but round two is not too hot either from the eye test.
I mean, his scoring average, but I guess my point is his scoring average for the other three rounds in those last 5 years, last 10 years, if he's finishing, I mean, we just showed the graphic T5, T8, T9. I mean, he's got seven top tens in the last 10 years. It's got to be pretty good, right? If he's getting off to those, that poor of a start generally at the Masters. Rick, I think the profile, and I'd actually love to bring that graphic that we just had back up of his finishes so far in 2024. The statistical profile that this reminds me of, and I don't know why I made this connection, but I was just thinking about it. So he goes T66 at Pebble. He actually won in Dubai in January on the European Tour, and then T66 at Pebble, and then four top 25s in a row. This actually reminds me of Tiger in 2019. I don't know if you guys remember Tiger going into the 2019 Masters. He didn't have that great of finishes. He finished like T30 at Riviera, T20 at Mexico, T15 at the Arnold Palmer, T30 at the Players. He was kind of hovering around that T20, T25 range, but he was hitting the golf ball very well. And his numbers actually going into that 2019 Masters, which obviously he won, were pretty good. And I'm with Patrick. I think Rory's numbers and his play has been not great for him, obviously. His standards are incredibly high, but better than people are making it out to be. Like, why would Rory even be a favorite at this Masters? And you're like, come on, man. Like, he hasn't been, it's not like he's missing cuts and, you know, shooting 80s or whatever. So I think his play is actually fine going into the Masters. It's all mental. It's the whole thing for next week with him will be, even if he had won all those events, I don't know that I would think differently about him going into this event. He's built for that golf course. We've talked about that a million times. It's all, can he settle his mind down on Thursday? He wants to win the Masters so bad, and he cares about it so much, and he's so emotionally invested in it. that it's all a matter of emotionally and mentally just settling down and trusting himself over those first 2 days. And then you get to the weekend and anything can happen. I think that more than anything will determine whether Rory ever wins a green jacket.
Kyle, that's a fantastic take there. And I'll just elaborate on that a little bit from personal experience. First off, a few weeks ago at the Cognizant Classic down in the West Palm Beaches, I had him for the first two rounds there. And we talked a lot on the golf course. And he talked about this flight of driver he's developed and how, Patrick, you talk about driving the cover off the ball. Well, he's flattened the trajectory. And so now he hit the thing, you know, equally as far, but a whole lot more accurately, because when he gets in that position, he covers the ball a lot more. So the swing path doesn't get too far inside out. So the big high hook that he was battling with last season, that's kind of gone away a little bit. I feel like all he really has to iron out is the iron game because, you know, truth be told, I thought he's missed some iron shots he shouldn't miss. And not just miss them, but he misses them long and left, and you cannot afford to do that at the Masters. But anyway, all that being said, to the emotional thing. Here lately, he shot 67 in the first round at West Palm Beach. He shot 65 in the first round at the Players' Championship. So that first round thing, he's playing with what looks like, to me, a whole lot more freedom, which is crucial around the Masters as far as possible. So a few years ago in 2008, I'll never forget, my brother had a wonderful practice session leading in. And I made the prediction to my father that I thought Trevor was going to win the Masters. And my dad's like, really? You think so? So I was like, yeah, I really do. And I gave him a ball marker and I said, this is the reason why. And so then there's a little bit more conversation, but it was all about the putting. Now, Rory, to me, is putting decently right now. But I said to my dad, if Trevor holds something of consequence early, 10, 12, 14 feet, just that nerve settler, you know, not just the birdie for the card, but the one that settles one down, I think he's off to the races. Well, on the third hole, he made this curler down the hill from about 15 feet, 12 feet, perfect speed in the heart. And you could see him sort of get the traction and just work his way from there. And for Rory, Kyle, you make the point of being comfortable. I feel like if he just gets off to that sound start and you just pick one off and you pick another one off, and you get around there in something, you know, 69-ish, depending on the weather, you know, get yourself just in the mix, out of the limelight, but in the mix. And then you start to cobble stuff together in a managerial kind of a sense. I actually feel pretty confident about what is what's in store for McIlroy at the Masters.
Yeah, three quick things. One, I've been around Mark's dad. Perfect impression of him. Two, only one guy has won his first Masters after his 15th attempt. That was Sergio in his 19th attempt. This is Rory's 16th, so he would just be the second guy to do it. And then three, it's all about being in the top 10 after the first round. Only one guy has won a Masters since 2005 from outside the top 10 after the first round, and it was Tiger, and he did it twice. He did it in 2005, and then he did it in 2019 as well. So you have to be inside that top 10 after the first round.
I was just thinking, I hope Mark played Trevor that week in one and done. I don't know if he did. We'll have to get a comment on that later. Quickly here, gents, you know, Tiger Woods is playing. You know, Kyle said he hopes that or Rory McIlroy might be setting up like Tiger Woods did in 2019. Patrick, that would be great for Rory, but Tiger is playing this event. Expectations have probably never been lower. The WD at Riviera because of illness and everything else that we've already talked about before this week. I mean, I don't know what the expectations are, but I don't have high hopes for Tiger this week.
Yeah, it's tough. The one thing going for Tiger is what he's got in between the years. I mean, he is probably the best person for this golf course, obviously. But like you said, he's only played 25 holes this year, one complete round. He came in over par in the opening round at Riviera, had to withdraw due to influenza. But the one thing, like I said, is he plays this golf course as good as anyone. And mentally, you have to do that around Augusta National. So four rounds would be a huge win for golf fans. If he makes the cut, that would be number 24 in a row. He tied Couples and Player last year for that record. So hopefully he can get it by himself this time.
Couldn't agree more, Patrick. Look, Tiger still has Tiger's mind, which is bar none. He's still got Tiger's hands, which are bar none, but he's got Tiger's feet right now. And the Augusta National Golf Club is a difficult, and I mean difficult, walk. So if he plays four rounds, I feel like it's a big deal.
Yeah, I mean, again, like you guys said, expectations for Tiger are incredibly low. I think the big thing that I'm looking at for this upcoming week, Rick, is the made cut streak. You know, does he continue that that made cut streak that he's on? And, you know, I think it's unrealistic to expect for him to get into contention. Again, like I said, 2019, he was playing good golf, not great finishes, but good golf. And he's not even playing any golf so far in 2024. So I can't imagine him getting into contention at this Masters.
2019 was certainly magical. And if you want to take a look back at Tiger's 2019 Masters win, CBS will provide a behind-the-scenes look at his return to glory next Saturday at 2 p.m. Eastern. You can watch the special on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.
Did you know that while over 60% of Americans dream of starting their own business, less than 20% of them take the first step? The reason? Building a business is tough. Tailored Brands is simplifying the business journey. From launching and managing to growing your business, Tailored Brands isn't just another tool. It's your online business partner from launch to success. With Tailored Brands, building your dream business becomes an effortless experience. Their comprehensive platform guides you through every step, ensuring you have everything you need in one place. From LLC formation to bookkeeping, invoicing to acquiring licenses and permits, and even setting up your bank account, Tailored Brands handles it all seamlessly. And our listeners will receive 35% off Taylor Brands LLC formation plans using our link, taylorbrands.com/CBS Sports. That's TAILORBRANDS.com/CBS Sports. So start your business journey today with Taylor Brands.
Welcome back to the First Cut Podcast. And one of the most exciting things about the Masters are the first timers, the debutantes, guys that can change the course and trajectory of their career. And it's not just the first timers who have to win a major championship, but we have two of the top 10 players in the world who have never even teed it up at the Masters. Ludvig Åberg, Wyndham Clark are going to be making their Masters debuts next week. So what I'm looking for here, gents, and Patrick, will head in your direction first. Who's that guy who needs to win a major, who needs to win the Masters to really solidify their state in the game?
I could really put the pressure on Ludvig and say him and his first major ever, not only Masters, but we'll give him a couple years at least. But I'm going to say Xander Schauffele. I think right now, statistically at least, he is the second best player in the world. This is a guy who has not missed a cut since the 2022 Masters. It's been that long. He's just so consistent and without a flaw in the game. And what I like the most about him right now is I like that he got in the mix at the Players Championship. He's going through a little bit of a swing change with Chris Como, and we identified what that miss was, and it's that right little wipey fade off the tee. He made three bogeys there in the final round at TPC Sawgrass, all because of missed fairways to the right. I'm expecting that he's working on that. I love that he got himself in the mix. I think he took it personal that he lost at TPC Sawgrass, a tournament that was his, and I think he's going to give it a really good go this year at Augusta.
Patrick, I'm on the Xander train with you, and I believe Ludvig has the chops to pull one off in his first attempt. Get these real fast. 7 wins on the PGA Tour. This is Xander. 1 win internationally. That's the Olympics. He's had 13 runners-up. He's had 41 top fives in his career. He's made over $43 million on the PGA Tour. And this season, 6 of 8 events, he's finished inside the top 10. It is time to finish one off, Xander Schauffele.
Yeah, it is time for Xander to finish one off. Rick, I think this is the best opportunity, one of the best opportunities since 1979 for a first-timer to win the Masters, whether it's Ludvig, Wyndham Clark, possibly somebody like a Nick Dunlap from out of nowhere. But I'm going to go with Tony Finau as the guy who I think needs a Masters, needs a major the most in 2024.
Give me Max Homa, who has really got to figure out what his major championship stuff looks like, and no better place to do it here than at the Masters. That'll do it for us. Mark Immelman, Kyle Porter, and Patrick McDonald. If you like what you've heard, follow us on the First Cut Podcast on YouTube or wherever else you can get your podcast.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever,
or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.